Welcome to another exciting episode of Niger Issues with Prisca. You are wondering why you should listen. Why
don't
shouldn't you?
Don't forget to tell a friend about Niger
Issues. Hey guys, how are you doing? I'm excited to be recording as always, but this is different because I'm collaborating with ICT Nigeria for GMW. GMW is an annual financial awareness campaign built to inspire children and youth to learn about financial literacy. So ISEC in Nigeria is participating. It's just a week where people talk about finances, not people exactly, like organizations, banks and stuff, talk about finances, money and things like that. Yeah. And this year, the theme is build your future, be smart about money. And I want to give a shout out to the sponsors for GMW ISEC Nigeria: PwC, RiseVest, and NGX Group. So on this show today, on this episode, yes, for the first time actually, I have two guests. The first guest is Joseph Olani and Connie Anjola Oluwa. Joseph Olani Elewa, I know him as Elewa. Elewa is a freelance writer. He has written a lot of articles and held white papers on NFTs and cryptocurrency. So he knows like a lot about cryptocurrencies and NFTs. Elewa, please say something.
Hello, my name is Joseph Olani. I'm a freelance writer and I'm happy to be on this episode of Niger-ish in partnership with ISEC in Nigeria.
Thank you. The next guest is Anjola. Anjola is a digital creator. I think he's known as Anjola Dave. So I think everybody knows him as Anjola Dave. He's a 3D artist, a graphic designer, photographer. He sells his 3D artworks as NFTs, and he's also a 300-level student of computer science, University of Ibadan. And he has a brand called Concept Universe. Please say something.
Hi, Prisca. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me on this episode of Niger-ish in collaboration with ISEC Nigeria.
Thank you for coming. Thank you. So we ran a survey just to know the questions that people have about the future of money. Before we even go into anything, think about the future of money. Elewa, what do you think the future of money is?
I think at this point, it's kind of already obvious that the future of money is cryptocurrency. Now, the remaining question, I think, is what crypto will be the eventual, like, mainstay cryptocurrency, not the question of whether cryptocurrency is the future of money. I think that has already been established by the growth of crypto in the last, I think, 12 years. The growth has been extremely massive. I mean, Bitcoin went from a few cents to now being around $40-50K. We've seen the growth of Ethereum, we've seen the growth of currencies like Monero, even meme currencies like Dogecoin. So I think it's very obvious that the future of currency is obviously digital currency. And the question, of course, is which digital currency will that currency be? Or what are the groups of digital currency that will eventually be the future of money?
Okay. So you guys are basically saying that cryptocurrencies and NFTs and all those things, future of money. Well, based on our survey, the survey that we took, we had over 50 responses. 66% of the people that answered the survey or that filled the survey do not trade crypto, and just 34% trade crypto. I think that's a very uneven score or number, since we are saying that cryptocurrency is the future of money, better than NFTs. For the NFTs, just 94.3% of the people create or collect NFTs. That's really low. So if you are saying that cryptocurrency is the future of money, I think we are very far from our country or Nigeria. So the first question that we asked the people that filled the survey, is the digital platforms that they use. And not surprisingly, like, everybody was just mentioning bank apps, like Zenith Bank app, UBA Bank app. We're seeing Kuda, CowrieWise, PayPal, thing. Somebody mentioned pie. So first off, let's talk about pie because I really want to know. Let me just say this. I have mind now. I have mind pie before because I was interested or anything.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, if I mind now. Wow, sorry.
Not because I was interested or anything. I
was actually minding pie. So don't feel bad about it. Because the idea was very catchy. And then the fact that you're not losing anything, it was like doing. I mean, you're not taking any. You're not losing any money. So I don't think anything that anybody actually experimented with pie. Although I don't anymore because obviously it's like those people don't know what they are doing. But you going into, I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't really think so. It should at least you were curious to find out what that's about.
Oh, thank you.
Rivka, let me be honest with you. This Angela is making you happy. It's making you happy. I mean, that's what you just doing. You should feel bad for mining pie. How can you be mining pie? Yeah.
I have friends that were doing it, and they wanted me to do it too because they would like. I think benefit or something. But I could not. I don't know. Consistent. The only thing I'm consistent with like this is Snapchat. But any other thing that requires me opening everything, just count me out. I tried, but I didn't understand the concept. Like, how can I possibly gain money from just opening an app and clicking one button? So, like, let's start from there. It's how what crypto is about. So, the first question is, what are cryptocurrencies? So, is it like Pi or what exactly? I'm going to start with Joseph. Elewa. Mommy, I'm not calling Joseph. Elewa.
The thing about crypto is that there are a few important features of any cryptocurrency. Number one feature is anonymity. Crypto is essentially a kind of currency that gives you anonymity. For example, if you want to open a bank account, you have to submit your name, your picture, your ID card, stuff like that. You don't need any of those things to open a crypto account. You don't need to submit your name to just generate a randomly selected wallet ID, then you get your wallet, then you can transfer crypto. And then there's lack of centralization. Every money in this world, even when we're using gold coins or cowries, it was kind of controlled or backed by a central organization, maybe like a central bank. Now, crypto does not have that central organization behind it. Crypto is decentralized, it's not centralized. That and that feature of cryptocurrency. And I think the last most important feature of cryptocurrency is that it's essentially peer to peer. There's no intermediary. There's no bank. There's no, there is actually centralized exchanges, but, the ideal vision of crypto, there is no bank. There's no person standing in between telling you how to make your transactions and stuff like that. It's peer to peer. So it gives you control, anonymity, and it offers decentralization. That's essentially what a cryptocurrency is. It's a currency that gives you those three things. And digital anyway. I think that's granted.
The next question is, how do I start? Angela, if I want to start cryptocurrency today, I've been trading, you know, however you guys call it, what's the first step?
Okay, well, Elwa has mentioned a bunch of stuff about cryptocurrencies, and he mentioned the wallet ID. Creating a wallet is one of the first things that you should do when it comes to going into cryptocurrencies. But for cryptocurrency applications, there are two different types or more. To the best of my knowledge and usage, there are wallets where you can just have cryptocurrency. They are decentralized wallets. Elwa mentioned that there are some bodies that are centralized. For instance, Binance is kind of a centralized organization. So when you open a Binance account, you are opening that account as you are creating a normal username, password thing. But for wallets, you practically just generate a wallet ID, and that's what your identity is known as. That's practically what Web3 is about, removing the whole username, password thing and moving completely into connecting your wallet and your account, your wallet representing your identity. So if you're going to go into cryptocurrencies, most likely you want to go with something like Binance, because at least they offer some form of beginner level, how do I put it, intuition in their bringing you into crypto. If you create a Binance account, they would offer you tips on how to create your account, how to manage your account, how to make your first purchase and stuff like that. But for decentralized wallets like Trust Wallet, MetaMask and the others, you would just go get your wallet ID generated randomly and then you just start using it. So I would advise you use something like Binance or Coinbase or any of those other platforms.
The next question is, does it require a lot of money to start? So if I want to start trading crypto, if I've like opened my Binance account, what am I going to do and how much do I need?
The fact that we are Nigerians, so even if I say that you need like, even if I say you need like $50, that's like 25k. So it's very difficult. Very difficult to properly articulate how much like you would need. But think that for, except like you have really like maybe 10k or 5k, there are always coins that you can buy, no matter how much. No matter how much you are, even if Bitcoin, you can buy 0.00125 Bitcoin or something like that. So, no matter your budget, as long as it's not ridiculously good, like maybe 500 naira or like maybe 1k, right? You always which 1k? Are you normal? There's always a coin that you can buy. There's always a coin that you can buy, and like. Bitcoin, all those cryptos are not just like one coin or two coins. They are like, if there's that, you can buy parts of one coin. You can buy maybe 0.15 from funding something coin. So no matter your budget, as long as it's not ridiculously low, you can always get the cryptocurrency to buy online.
Next question. This one I was surprised to see. Why doesn't it have a next of kin option? Like you already said that it's something that you don't like register with your name and stuff. Okay, if I have a lot of cryptocurrencies now and not me, somebody, and the person dies, what is the option? Like
okay, this is quite simple. For decentralized what they call it, wallets. It operates by using a seed phrase, what we call a seed phrase. Now that seed phrase is a series of words that unlocks or imports your wallet. Because for a decentralized wallet, you cannot recover your password. If you forget the seed phrase, it cannot be recovered because it's decentralized. Yeah. So you only use a password to log in on that particular device. But let's say you change devices, you're going to need that seed phrase to import it. So let's say you want to have someone have access to your currency. Let's say I have a child and I want that child to be able to inherit if something happens to me. I would give that child that seed phrase and ask the child to keep that seed phrase well. So if something goes wrong, the child can easily access that wallet by simply downloading the wallet on any device and then importing the wallet using that seed phrase. Once the person types in that seed phrase, for that particular wallet, to bring all the assets of that wallet to that particular device. But that's the thing, if you get that seed phrase, then all the assets are gone practically. So that's how you, something like Binance, then probably you give your username and password and email and different kinds of things, because you also work with two-factor verification.
Okay. So it's basically giving your password to somebody. That's like the summary.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that password is not something that you can change ever.
No, it's not something you can change. For decentralized wallets, that's the case. But those are things like Trust Wallet and MetaMask. If you're using something like Binance, you can always change your username. You can always change your email address or re-verify your email address and all those other things. So you just have to give the password and username and email associated with the account to whoever you want to pass that account to.
Okay. The next question, I think it relates to this last one, is why can't coins be recovered when sent to the wrong wallet address?
Well, Eloa, do you want to answer that?
The thing about crypto is that since there is no central authority, right? There's nobody that controls, like nobody has the authority to reverse transactions. Once it's written onto the blockchain, it's irreversible. There's no time machine to bring it back. Once it goes on the blockchain, once the transaction is verified, no matter how bad the transaction is, no matter how much money you've lost, no matter how badly you lost the money, once it's verified transaction, it's verified for life. There's nothing you can do about it. Just, if you can pray to God, I don't know. It's gone. It's over. That's it. C'est fini. That's all.
Interesting. Can I be hacked?
You can definitely.
Yes, 100%.
Wait, Angela, you mentioned one thing, that next of kin question, that password stuff, that I forgot the name, size, something.
Specific phrase.
Mm-hmm. So how can somebody hack me if I have that and you don't know it?
The thing is, specific phrase. Another thing is, people are gullible on the internet. Some people set up websites that offer help concerning cryptocurrencies, and then they make people put in their seed phrase, thinking that they are logging in into their wallets. That's like one of scamming in such situations. So the first advice everybody gives is, don't give anybody your seed phrase. Don't store it in any online platform. Try to make sure that your seed phrase is practically real. But someone that has no access to just anybody. Because that's the most secure way you can keep it. You put it in something like your email. If your email gets hacked and they search through for anything related to seed phrase, they can easily import your wallet. So you want to avoid doing stuff like that. Another thing is avoid clicking links that you don't know this.
It happens anyhow.
Like, don't just click random links. Because people have generated that just you open and your money is gone. So those are the most prominent scams that happen. So if you are just careful, then you reduce the chance of getting hacked.
Okay. I feel like it's very complicated. And another question that I'm also thinking of is, how is profit generated? Like, I still don't understand how this thing is online and then it is money. Like, how do I gain money? How does it increase and how does it reduce?
It's like, think of it like the stock market. That's the thing. About it.
That's the thing. Understand the stock market. Let's say top like the way prices go up and down, normal market. Now, let's say I want to buy.
Yeah. Also,
and then the price of rice.
Assets increase and decrease in value every time, same as crypto. But there are reasons why people buy an asset. And for example, now if there's a new cryptocurrency that comes out, and that's a great use case, the team behind it is great, it's amazing, the app is amazing, things are great about the crypto, people want to buy that crypto, and the price of the crypto will go up. Now, if you bought that crypto on the day that it came out, like on the launch date, maybe like you bought it around $1, right? As you continue to buy the crypto, depending on how much crypto is actually being like is raised on the market, as you continue to buy the crypto, the price will continue to climb high. So you that you bought something for like $1 maybe last week, you can't look up and say right now it's already like $1,000 or $1,000. The same thing that happened with Dogecoin, it happened with that is an interesting case. Dogecoin in 2015, I think. Dogecoin was around, if you add $1,000 in Dogecoin in 2015, around 2017, that $1,000 would be around $17 million. And that was just off hype alone, because people were buying it. So as those assets increase, if you buy it low when the price was low, and when the price gets high, you can sell it and then make your money.
All right, and that question is, there are times on Twitter and Twitter that everybody's complaining about deep, and boys are like depressed. What exactly is this deep thing? And some people now come and saying it's beneficial to some of us. Some people will be jubilating, some people will be crying. So Angela, what is like in the simplest thing that you can explain?
I would try to be simple, but most of these things could be complex at times. But a dip is practically when there's a massive, there are different types of dips. Each currency could have a dip. But when it happens on a grand scale like that, that everybody is talking on Twitter that, yo, everything is lower and stuff, that's when there's a massive dip in the markets. And this could be controlled. When it comes to cryptocurrencies, there are things like, there are concepts like market supply, market cap, and different kinds of stuff. These things are the things that guide the rise and fall of a cryptocurrency. But usually in those cases, bad news about cryptocurrency makes people sell a lot of cryptocurrencies. And just like in economics, when a lot of people are selling something, the value is going to have to go down because a lot of people are selling it. So this happens a lot in the cryptocurrency space. We call it fear, uncertainty, and doubt, FUD. So when FUD is spread concerning a particular currency, people tend to sell. And in the cryptocurrency space, we have people that have massive amounts of money. As in, these are the kinds of people that can have up to 1,000 Bitcoin or 100 Bitcoin. We call them whales in the cryptocurrency space. If these kinds of people should make sales of their currencies or sell their currencies off, it would influence the market because a large portion of the currency has been put back on the market. So the scarcity of the currency has reduced, which would in turn reduce the value of the currency. Now, when something affects currencies like Ethereum and Bitcoin, it will affect the rest of the market because those are the biggest currencies. So they practically represent a large amount of cryptocurrency. There are so many types of cryptocurrencies, but when you mention Bitcoin, it's very common. When you mention Ethereum, it's common as well. Those currencies kind of control the markets when it comes to the rise and fall in their value. For instance, when BTC lost up to 40% of its value from that December time to early this year, it affected the entire market and the whole thing was pushed into what we call a bear market, which is when everything is going down. If everything is going up, we call it a bull market. So for that kind of situation where there is a dip, it's usually influenced by things like that. It's not really stuff people can control. It's like it's happening in the background. So you just have to have your ears on the ground to it's happening. So you can be able to sell in time and buy back. Or you can just decide to hold your currency until it rises again.
Okay, I get. But there's something you mentioned that I want to ask you. You said people that have like 100 Bitcoin and 1,000 Bitcoin, they're like the whales in the crypto industry. So is that right? Having like 100 Bitcoin is a big thing, like 100. Wow. So that means all these guys now, like, I don't want to say any people, like, I always say that they are trading crypto and stuff. They don't have like up to 50 Bitcoin.
It depends. That's the crazy thing.
How much is one Bitcoin like now? Let me first know.
Right now should be 40. Around 40K, 39K dollars. Yes.
Oh, wait, 40K dollars?
Yes, in dollars.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, I took that back. Okay, the next question is, the person says, I feel like everything will disappear one day. Can it crash at the point? That's how I feel. So that's how my dad feels. Like, enter that online. Advice you not to
do it. It's a rumor, but it's not yet proven.
I feel Bitcoin has gotten to it, especially Bitcoin has gotten to a point where it's too big to crash. It's actually too big to crash. And the thing about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency in general is that we are still in the early days of adoption. It's barely 12, 13 years old. There are still coins that are like just 5 years old. So even at right now, we are still at the early stage of adoption. It's still going to grow bigger than this. People even say that Bitcoin will even get to like $1 million in price, like one Bitcoin worth $1 million. So right now, people might think it's too big, but it's really not. That, like you said, like that survey did. Yeah. Only like 6%, I believe, like some people already like have cryptocurrencies.
Mm-hmm.
Over the next 10, 15 years, that number will continue to grow. And that number continues to grow. The value of cryptocurrencies will also continue to grow. So I feel crypto has gone to a point where it's, I think, an insane, like, so many things that could happen in the right right, that's the right subsection for crypto to crash. It's so it's extremely unlikely. I will never lie to you, it's extremely unlikely. There's some cryptocurrency that can crash. There are some that can crash. There are a lot of coins that can crash, that can that become dead, that become like $0. But the ecosystem in general is already too big to crash. It's too ginormous. I struggle to find words to explain how big it is to crash.
Okay. The last question I have concerning cryptocurrencies, question I know everybody would be willing to know the answer to, is can somebody do it for me?
See,
and I know a question. Can answer to your question? I'm just asking. Can you give somebody your ATM and your password and they keep your money for you? I'm just asking.
No.
That's kind of how.
That's it.
That's it. To avoid letting someone do it for you. If you know you cannot trade, or you don't have the ability to trade, then just do research on currencies that can amass value over the next few years. For instance, you can actually check out a rank of the top best cryptocurrencies. You can actually check it because they rate that by market capitalization of the currency, which is the amount of money that is in that cryptocurrency. Currently, Bitcoin is leading that with a market cap in billions of dollars. So you have that kind of rank, you can easily be able to tell. There are other currencies like Solana, XRP, Ethereum, and some others. These currencies have been able to stand through like hard times.
Angela.
Instead of trading.
Please don't mention that. Angela. Please don't mention that XRP, please. That one is so useless.
XRP
is the useless coin.
No.
Useless coin, please.
This is why I think
that
they are going through a lot. The owners are going through a lot with their whole lawsuits with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission.
God will punish the owners. God will punish them.
It's until they settle that issue they have with the U.S. that most likely to come. Just like I said earlier, that the bad news about the currency can drop the value. XRP lost value when it was announced that they are facing a lawsuit. So let's say today now is that case, and then they are off the government's hands, then most likely you would see a pump in the value of XRP, because XRP is supposed to be valued a lot higher than it is now, considering the market cap of the currency. So just do your research, find what you can buy and just keep in your wallet, and you just know that, okay, I have it, rather than giving someone to trade for you. Trading for you is something else. I would not advise it.
So thank you guys for that section. We are moving to the NFT section. I think I'm more interested in this because curious. I've checked Twitter. I've Googled it. Yes, I've tried my best. The first question, which was like also my question, isn't it just an image? Like, are we not just selling
everybody asks? NFTs as images, isn't that something you can just right click and save? Yeah.
Yes, this is not something I cannot draw. Okay, let me share this. There's this person I saw, or there was this a tweet I saw that to make art like in the olden days or something like that. And he just digitalized it or something, turned it into NFTs, and was making money. And I'm like, okay, it's that easy. Like, I don't get it. It's just any picture that.
Not that easy.
For instance, I mentioned that I sell my 3D artwork as NFT. I didn't say I make NFTs to sell NFTs. I make artworks, I sell those artworks as NFTs. This is because NFTs have a wide range of utilities. We're still at the beginning of like the discovery of what NFTs can do. But right now, NFTs could be images, they could be videos, they could be artworks, as in digitally drawn artworks or artworks that were photographed. So there are a bunch of things you can use them for. They can even be web links or 3D objects. That's where the metaverse comes in, because the metaverse is built on the existence of NFTs as objects in the metaverse. So let's say for that guy that had images that he put up for sale and stuff, those images must have some sort of value. These images are either artworks or photographs that were taken, actual artistic photographs and stuff. Mm-hmm. So they converted to NFTs and sold. We usually say in the NFT space that NFTs are to provide utility. As artists, we also say that art is the utility. So we don't necessarily have to say things like, if you buy this NFT, there's something that's attached with it. Because if you are buying an artwork as an NFT, then it means you just generally appreciate that artwork and you want to have it. So it's one of the things about NFTs that people just need to understand. Saving, right clicking and saving an NFT or an image that is an NFT might put the image in your hand, but it does not put the value as an NFT in your hand. For instance, you cannot mint that thing that you have saved because it's already on the blockchain, and you cannot also sell it. The only person that has the right to be able to sell and make money off that thing is the person who bought it on the blockchain legally through the right means. So even if you are saving it, you are still clowning yourself if you are believing that you have the value for that thing, because you don't really have the value. You can't resell it as a digital asset. You don't hold it as a digital asset. You just have it as an image file. So that's where NFTs come in. Putting something into the blockchain to become an NFT is what we call minting it. That's where you convert it. So right-clicking and saving something, a video, an image, a link, or whatever it is, does not give you ownership of that thing. But having it as an NFT gives you ownership, the ability to sell or transfer that asset as a digital asset in the blockchain.
Okay. I think I get that. But you said, like that guy now, it could have been a physical image that he just turned into an NFT. So how can I transform a picture into an NFT?
Well, you practically mint the picture. For instance, photographers also are artists, because photographers create and they are also regarded as artists. So photographers make money in the NFT space. But at the same time, if you're a traditional artist, for instance, my mom is a fine artist. She's a traditional artist. So she makes paintings. We recently put together a collection for her, an NFT collection for her. But our artworks are actually physical artwork. They are actually painted. So what I did was to take pictures of them under the right lighting and everything, and then I edited them, cropped them to have just the image of the artwork so that it's properly presented and sized, and then I minted it like that. So like that, it is as a digital representation. Now the power is in the hand of the artist whether or not to deliver the actual piece. I want to buy your artwork now, and you tell me if I buy this artwork, that's where utility comes in again. If you tell me if I buy this artwork, I would actually get the physical version delivered.
Any picture can be transformed into an NFT. I think the process of doing it is by you upload the file on if you are doing it on Ethereum, it's a decentralized app called OpenSea. You upload the file on OpenSea and OpenSea will mint it for you. Then it goes on the Ethereum blockchain. Now the thing is that when you are minting NFT, you have to pay gas fees. I think that's the barrier of entry. Some blockchains have very high gas fees and some have very low gas fees. So it all depends on what network they are minting the NFT through. I think, yeah. So any picture, it doesn't matter your face. You can have your face 100 times in different angles and put as an NFT. It doesn't really matter.
Okay, minting is uploading the file you want to make an NFT, like what Elewa said, uploading it to the platform you want to mint it to, like OpenSea, the most common and the largest NFT marketplace. So when you upload it, that's minting. It converts that file from being an ordinary file in whatever format it was to becoming an NFT that can be purchased on the blockchain. Now, listing it is when you put it up for sale. This is where you pay a gas fee for a platform like OpenSea. For OpenSea, you only pay that gas fee once. That's to put it for sale one time. Every other NFT that you mint will be minted and listed for free. So it's just that first time you have to put it up for sale on OpenSea. That's one thing people miss. It's not like you have to be paying gas fees each time you put something up. You just have to pay the first time. You can catch gas fees at a low price when there are not so many transactions on the blockchain. So the gas fees will be low at such a time. So that's what minting and listing could be.
At the beginning, we said that cryptocurrencies are like the future of money. So, Elewa, do you think NFTs are the future of art? Do you think like in the next 10, 20 years, every artist is going to be uploading their pictures or their arts on the blockchain and all those things. Is that what it's going
to be? Let me be honest. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I think the future of NFTs lie in the metaverse. I think that's the most important place where NFTs will be. But in terms of replacing actual art, I don't think NFTs have to do that. But in terms of creating data identities in the metaverse, 3D identities, pictures, creating a community in the metaverse, building venues in the metaverse, making tickets for concerts, special passes, things like that in the metaverse. I think that's where NFTs will become extremely important. But in terms of actual art, no. I don't think that's going to happen.
Somebody wrote in the survey that are we not crazy to buy art this expensive? Hello, what do you think? I don't know like how much they cost or something. But someone just
I think that's not unique to NFTs actually. Art is generally very expensive venture. There are things called abstract art, right? Yeah. I've seen art that is just like, not a Nigerian flag is, right? Nigerian flag. It's just like, I'm not joking, just like Nigerian flag, it's like 2-3 colors together with different lines separating them. And you sell for like $2 million, $3 million straight. And they call it abstract art. I don't know whether it's money laundering, I don't know whatever the thing it is, but art, like, if you see the art that I've sold in the real world, what NFTs do in the real world? So, I think it's a non-issue because in the real world, crazier things are happening. Crazier things. So, it's not unique to NFTs at all. Crazier things are happening.
I agree strongly with that because before NFTs, the only good thing about NFTs is that before in the real world, you would see artists like Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci and those kinds of people. They are asked to go for incredible amounts. Everybody knows about the Mona Lisa painting. That painting would obviously, in fact, it's practically priceless now. But now with NFTs, any artist anywhere can actually get that worldwide recognition. So that's a good thing for artists. And the matter is that art was always supposed to be valued at high prices. Yeah. For those that really respect, it's supposed to be valued at high prices. For instance, when I started with NFTs and stuff, because it's Ethereum we are using, you'll be using 0.something to price your work, 0.0-something to price your work. If someone sells an artwork right now with price of Ethereum for 0.5 Ethereum, it will not look like so much money because it's 0. But that person has just sold that work for about $1,500. And in Naira, you are looking at about 700K plus. Now, that kind of money would look like, that's too much. But the NFT world has practically reduced that negativity in art that actually valued that high. So now artists and creators anywhere in the world can be able to give their work the value it deserves and be able to make the actual money they're supposed to be making.
Okay, I want to ask one question. Elewa, Angela mentioned
what's up?
Buying arts like Ethereum and all those things. So, do they buy and sell NFTs with cryptocurrencies?
Yes, obviously. I think on OpenSea, you can only actually buy on OpenSea, for example, you can only buy arts with you can only buy the NFTs on OpenSea with it. That's the native crypto of Ethereum. So. Its marketplace is based on the cryptocurrency, and it's that cryptocurrency that we used to buy at on that network. For example, if you want to get something on OpenSea, you have to connect to your crypto wallet, then you have to now transfer your funds, transfer it to Ethereum, buy the art, then transfer it somewhere else, or keep it, or sell it, or I don't know, whatever. But I don't think I've heard of any NFT marketplace that art is being bought with normal currencies, all these cryptos. That's why NFTs and cryptocurrencies are like they're two peas in a pod. They are 5 and 6. They are like Osinbajo and Buhari and things like that.
Oh, wow. That's surprising. Like, I did not even think about that before. Next question, and this is for Angela. What is the connection between Twitter Spaces and launching NFT? Realize that anybody wants to launch NFT, okay?
I'm mostly it's cloud. That's the connection. It's cloud.
Okay. That's it. Let me start from the sole purpose. In the NFT space, we believe in community. And community is everybody supporting everybody. We tend to accomplish more when everybody is supporting everybody. For instance, we're already creating our name as a Nigerian NFT community by bonding and coming together to do things for one another. For like my last collection that was dropped now, the collectors were not white people or people outside the country. For the few sales I made of it, were actually people that I met in the space and people that had supported me and people that friends I had made in the space. So it's all about community. Now, Twitter is the place where the community is really together, because Twitter is like an open social media. Unlike something like Instagram that is just photos and you just come and comment, it's a little bit close when it comes to Instagram. And then your timeline is practically for only the people that you follow, not who they follow, what they retweet, what they like and stuff like that. But for Twitter, it's a little bit open. It's like a very big group chat where people just talk. And then what you say can end up 5 timelines away, 10 timelines away.
Yeah.
You can say something on your Twitter and Jeff Bezos could see it. It's actually a possibility. On Instagram, if there's nobody that is going to post it somewhere that Jeff Bezos is going to see it, he's not going to see it. So that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So we use Twitter because we can easily connect with people there. Now, Twitter spaces are the place where you can come and showcase your work. We usually say shilling, but we're trying to stop saying shilling and trying to say more of showcasing, because for artists, we're trying to make sure that artists always have the power. You don't have to be slaving for any collector so that they can collect your work. Your work has the value it has. Whoever is going to collect is going to collect.
Okay, thank you. Hello, this question is for you. And I think it's a very funny question. Like, I don't want to understand it, but I want to see if we can answer. Versus benefits beyond JPEGs and cryptocurrencies, what benefits will it bring to the third world country? I don't guess, but what
I think that's actually an interesting question. Because there is a lot of benefits. The thing is that if you look at if what you like really start researching on cryptocurrencies and why they are needed, right? You have to look at the history of money. And the thing about money is that it's given to massive inflation. For example, now in Nigeria, the inflation that we have suffered in this country from 2017 alone till now, it's crazy. It's maddening. It makes my head go gaga. I can't even really explain how crazy it is, the kind of inflation we've suffered, right? And think that cryptocurrency, especially stable coins, right? Stable coins are an edge against inflation, right? So if you have like 100k a month and you're saving your 20k, not in a bank, but in a stable coin, right? No matter what happens to a naira, no matter how inflated it gets, no matter, maybe naira is now worth $50, I'd be $1,000, $1,000, no matter what, your 20k will still be your 20k, will still be the value of what you put aside. Right, in that stable coin. So I think cryptocurrencies are also, and that is why cryptocurrencies are important for third world countries, that this our country, right, we live it's a semi-dictatorship, right? For example, now, like just last year, Buhari decided to ban Twitter and nothing happened. Nobody died. You know send anybody's daddy. So in a situation like that, the government can actually unilaterally ban your account, freeze your account, stop you from making financial transactions. But the government does not have that control over crypto. So if you have a wallet, you have cryptocurrency on it, you can actually still continue to make financial transactions regardless of what the government wants. So you are not under government's control. Regardless of how tyrannical the government can be, right? So but it doesn't matter what Buhari likes or what Buhari is, you still have your wallet. You can still make your transaction. You can still get your dollars or get your naira or whatever. But I think these are the two important things that cryptocurrency has, Abby. Two important benefits.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Angela, your question is, what is the guarantee that they'll buy my art? So if I, after everything that you guys have said now, and I don't start to, what's the guarantee that they'll buy my art? Possible for me to just have an NFT there, nobody's buying it.
Well, yes, there is the possibility. But the thing is, when you're stepping into NFTs, I usually tell people this, as an artist, when you're coming into the world of NFTs, don't forget the fact that you were an artist before NFTs came. So you're not here or creating because you are selling. You create because you want to create. So that's where it has to start from. You have to create that mindset.
Hey, what if I want money? I'm creating to sell.
Yes, yes, yes. That's true. That's true, actually. If you're putting your work up, then definitely the goal is to sell. Mm-hmm. I'm saying you should not come in thinking, oh, I must sell now, so that your mindset doesn't change. The truth of the matter is that sometimes it could take time to sell. For instance, when I started, I started in September. I got into NFTs in September. I put out my first collection in October. And I did not make a sale of that collection until February. My first sale at all in NFTs in general came in January. And that was like first, second week in January. Now, if you're counting that time, I already spent about 3 months in NFTs. And I was posting my work, connecting with people, retweeting other people's work, supporting people and everything. If I had given up during that time that I don't think anybody really cares for what I'm doing, then I would not eventually find out that I can actually sell and meet people that would actually appreciate my work. So primarily, when you get into the NFT space, start by believing in your work and appreciating your work for what it is. You have to believe in yourself, no matter what the entire space is saying. There have been times in the NFT space that a collector will come and pick up pieces from every single one of my friends, but not me. Now, definitely the person would have seen my works in passing, but maybe the person does not just want to buy. Now, if I now decide that based on the fact that the person did not want to buy, I'm no more doing NFTs, I'm the one who's going to be at loss. So you just have to believe in your work. Somehow, somewhere, the collector for that artwork will find it. That's just what we say in the NFT space. Put out your work, push your work, support others, and trust me, there's no how it's going to happen. You are going to find sales. Because another thing is, we also discovered this statistic that there are about 6.8 million collections on OpenSea, and only about 15,000 have sold a piece from that collection, like from their own collection. So that's really crazy, because that means that about 2% of people out of everybody that has put up NFT collections have sold. Only about 2%. And we actually see it happening all around us that artists make sales. So just keep pushing and keep believing in your work, and eventually it will get that sale. It's just what it is. Because I had to wait a long time before I even started selling anything, and I was there 24/7. So just push your work and believe in your work, and definitely your collector will come. It doesn't matter how, what time the collector comes or anything. I have a friend that didn't make any sale in over a year, and then he put out a new collection, and a few collectors found him. And then he sold out his collection in a few days.
Now, what an NFT is, I can still explain. I have an idea. Although I don't think I know so much yet. So I can still make my research or just like talk to any of you. So let's have to say thank you to Asek in Nigeria for this episode. It is for GMW and our sponsors, PwC, RiseDesk, and NDX. I have to say thank you to Angela and Elewa. Elewa, if someone wants to reach out to you, and they reach out to you, and what can they reach out to you for?
If you have an NFT project or a crypto project, and you need someone that can speak for the community, I think I have a lot of experience in that thing. Things like white papers and blog posts for NFT projects and stuff like that. You can ask me on WhatsApp. 0813-612-6913.
Is there any other way we can reach you?
To my email, joseph.olani@isec.net.
Okay. Angela, how can we reach out to you?
Okay. I'm Angela D as a digital creator. That's spelled ANJOLABABE. So Angela Dave, this is my username on practically all platforms that I exist on. Instagram, Twitter, OpenSea, Foundation, Snapchat, anything. even Telegram.
Don't just reach out to your Snapchat concerning NFTs.
Anybody can, you can reach out to anywhere. I've received DMs on Snapchat about NFTs and I've been able to put some posts through there because I post my stuff there too. So I don't think it's really particular.
Priska, what do you do on Snapchat? You, what do you do on Snapchat? I'm just asking. What do you do on Snapchat?
Nothing.
I actually asked. Because I mean, anybody can discuss anything on any social media platform.
Yeah, I don't understand. What do you do on Snapchat?
Angela, please go on.
Okay. Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter. Just search Angela Dave. You will find my accounts and send me DM.
What should we reach out to you for? What can we reach out to you for?
If you are trying to get into NFTs, you are trying to put together your first collection, you're trying to get into the community, you're trying to get familiar with NFTs and what they are, then you can reach out to me.
Okay. I can vouch for the two of them. I think that they are very good at what they do. Elewa is like a very fantastic writer. He might like claim that he's not, he is, and he also claims that he doesn't have money. Like, you never say that. Elewa's nickname is King of NFTs. That's one of his nicknames. He's always claiming he's NFTs. And everybody knows that he has money, guy.
Elewa Slander. See, I aligned against me. Without the fear of God in your heart. Ah, you never know that shame. See, I aligned.
I don't have money, but let's not go into that. Then, Angela, I don't know so much about like your financial life. I know that you are like a boy, because
it's about. Too young, girl, very young and small. Looking for my way. Well, I want to first thank Isaac Nigeria for having me here with Niger Ish. I sure hope I'm pronouncing these things right. Because yes, I just have to pick everything. Okay. So I just want to thank every platform that is involved in creating this. I think it's a wonderful thing they're doing. Creating opportunities for people, because a bunch of people always like to have these ideas and want to do these things, and they don't like eventually get to do it.
First thing first about this crypto stuff or NFT. Look at it, important, extremely important. Do your own research. Like, it's the most important aspect of it. Like, there's a wealth of information online. All you have to do is go on to Google and say, please, what does this mean? What is this? It is that it's so easy to get misled in the crypto and NFT space. It's so easy to get hacked. It's so easy to lose all your life savings. But if you do your research, if you make sure that you are following people that have sense and not following people that are lead you astray, you will not enter gutter. But if you got this by your power and by your own might, you might be crying on WhatsApp like me now. I'm crying about XRP. I bought so much of that. What? Don't mistake my mind. I bought so much of that foolish coin last year. And now I'm in the trenches. I'm in tears. But God knows the best, Sha. God knows the best for all of us.
Okay. Thank you very much, Elewa, for that. Thank you, Eden Nigeria. Thank you, WC. Thank you, Rise First. Thank you. So please refer this episode to your friend. Don't listen alone. Don't be selfish. So thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Angela and Elewa, for coming. See you guys later. Bye. Please follow Nigerish on Instagram. I need to help my career. Tell your friends to follow Nigerish if you're already following Nigerish. Sign up for my newsletter if you haven't. Thank you so much. Don't forget to tell a friend. Tell another friend. To listen to Nigerish. Thank you. Bye-bye.